Matthew chapter number 28. The Lord has changed our direction for this morning, and He certainly has that privilege to do that. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. Give you just a moment to find that. I'll give you a clue. It's the first book of the New Testament. Didn't know if you might needed some assistance on that. Matthew 28, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll help us in these moments. Lord, I need that divine supernatural unction and power, Lord, that makes preaching effective. Lord, I am not here to perform. I'm not here to see or be seen. I am here, Lord, trusting you to help me today to be your mouthpiece. Lord, this congregation, whether we want it or not, we need to hear from you today. We need the Spirit of God to prick our hearts and to deal with us here today. Lord, we need every bit of the carnality dealt with today. We need, Lord, the apathy dealt with today. Lord, we need, Lord, our unconcerned, our half-heartedness. Lord, forgive us for not giving 110% in the service this morning. Lord, forgive our congregation, Father. Forgive me, Lord, for not being hooked up with the Holy Ghost the way that you deserve, Lord, for us to be. Lord, I pray that you'll help us in this message, that you would speak to us and deal with us, and we'll give you the praise for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I've been preaching a few services off and on as the Lord directs on the power of God, on the power of God. We've dealt with the message on power versus performance. Most churches are operating in the realm of performance today. And performance is what the flesh can do. But power is what the Spirit can do. And we preached a message on Samson and the power of God. And Lord willing, going to preach others as the Lord directs us. But the Lord spoke to my heart this morning that He wants me to preach this morning on Christ and the power of God. Christ and the power of God. Now I'm going to say this simple message, this simple thought here right now. If you're interested in the power of God, you're going to have to deal with Christ. All right? The power of God is not independent of Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1 and 24, here's what the Bible says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." That verse says that Christ is the power of God. That just makes good sense to me, that if He's the power of God, then I need to get to know Him better. I need to get as close to Him as I can, because the more of Christ is in my life, the more Christ's likeness is in my life, the more power that I can have. Amen? Well, Jesus said these words after His resurrection in Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power. Notice that. That word all is capitalized. Now you can find that two-word statement in 1 Thessalonians You can find that statement, all power, there as well. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 9, speaking about the Antichrist. Verse 8 says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." You know what I noticed when I seen that? That word "all" is not capitalized. When Jesus said "all power is given to me," he made it in capital letter, A-L-L. All power, amen? That's right. But when it talks about the power that's given to the Antichrist, that is just a little small A. You ought to remind the devil of that. When he comes around your place and around your life and he gets to trying to tell you things and try to do things to you, you just tell him that, "Hey, big boy, all your power is little lowercase letters." Amen. Amen. You don't have enough power to be capitalized. There's only one that has that authority. There's only one that has that power, and his name is Jesus Christ. And remind the devil that Jesus Christ is the one that defeated the powers of hell on Calvary once and for all and forever. Bless his name. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. But we're talking about Christ and the power of God. I tell you, I'm really concerned at how few of people that go to church today that are interested in and pursuing the power of God. I'm really concerned about how many people, including preachers, that are concerned about the lack of power that is in our churches. Are we? Are we? You know, it's easy. It's easy to just kind of fall into that Laodicean spirit, you know. Right. Everything's going well, you know, and as it is, why do we want to do more? Why do we want to be more when everything's kind of fine the way it is? Well, don't forget it. The power of God is essential to accomplish the work of God. The work of God, the will of God for your life cannot, will not ever be accomplished without the power of God working in and through your life. How many are interested in that? How many are really interested in having the power of God on your life? And remember, we preached on it when we talked last. We talked about the power of God is needed for accomplishment. Why else would you need the power of God? Why else would you want the power of God? It is for accomplishment. Trying to accomplish something that the flesh and the energy of the flesh cannot accomplish. Amen? So that's, and I make that statement to say this. That's the reason a lot of people are not interested in the power of God on their life is because they're not trying to accomplish anything. Soon as Paul got saved, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Right. He began immediately serving. He didn't quit serving. He just switched masters. Amen. Amen. He went wide open for God like he was wide open for the devil. Right. Is that your testimony? Is that my testimony? That I'm as fired up about righteousness as I was about unrighteousness? Right. Am I as desirous to serve my new master, Jesus, as I was to serve the old master? Am I as interested in pleasing the spirit in my the spirit man in me as I was to please the flesh? Are you listening? I don't believe God's in that. Going wide open for the devil and then getting saved and plopping down on the pew of do nothing and sit back and say, "Well, here I am, God. I've done you a favor. I've come to church.
That's right. Amen.
And Lord, you better get with it because I'm out of here at such and such time, and you best get with it."
Lord,
have you forgot who you are? Have you forgot who he is? I'm telling you, you're not the one, nor am I the one in authority in the work of God. He is the one that is in authority. Amen. And I believe this. I'm going to spend a lot of the message this morning on it, and whether I get done or not, I don't know. But I know this. Every church problem can be traced back to an authority problem. What do you mean authority problem? Christ having authority over you. Christ having authority in you. You'll never have the power of God until Christ rules in your life and reigns in your life. We can talk about Jesus being born King of the Jews. We can talk about Jesus being King of kings and Lord of lords, and they're going to crown him one day, and they won't crown him till I get there. But that does nothing for most people. You know why, Brother Tim? Because Jesus is not reigning as king in their life now. Yeah? I guarantee it. Anytime you go to a church and it's dead at 4 o'clock, count on it, ladies and gentlemen. It's an authority problem. Somebody is out of sorts with God. Somebody is not allowing Jesus to have his way in their life. Amen. Most people today are living a life of tug of war. God's on one side, and you're on the other side, and you're pulling against everything that God is wanting to do. God can't bless a person like that. God can't bless a family like that. God cannot bless a church like that. My friend, that's at a tug of war, pulling match against God. Did you know you can be saved and not be happy? You can be saved and be miserable. Do you know that? That's an authority issue. That's rebellion and stubbornness and being stiff-necked against God. When God says, I own you, I purchased you, you belong to me. And this is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do in you. This is my plan. This is my design. And you stub up and say, no, this is what I want. I don't want that. I want this. Do you understand what you're saying when you say stuff like that? You're saying, God, you don't know best. I know best. You're saying, God, if I choose what you want, it will not satisfy me. I'm going to choose what I want. Christ in the power of God. We'll never have the power of God in our lives or in our church till Jesus Christ reigns in our life and has authority in our life. Amen. Now you be hard pressed. Now listen, I'm going to make this statement here. Thought the Lord give to me this morning. Thought about it much this morning. You'd be hard-pressed to find in that Bible right there where anybody goes to heaven except disciples of Jesus. You'd be hard-pressed to show it to me in the Bible. You say, preacher, that's elementary thought. No. How many people do you know and I know they have no mind, no desire, no heart to follow God and be a disciple of the Lord, to be a learner, be a student of the Lord Jesus, allowing Him to lead you? You are a follower. Right. There's very few of them in church today. Right. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus is a sure, true evidence that you've been born again. How many disciples are there in here? People that said yes to the Lord and no to the flesh and said, God, I'll follow you. What about, can you sing that song, Where He Leads, I Will Follow? Can you sing that from your heart? Lord, what is it that you want in my life? What do you want in my life? What do you want out of my life? And Lord, I'll do it to the best of my ability. A lot of people want a successful ministry. but they don't want to go through what it takes to have one. Are you listening? I remember when I got saved by the grace of God, when the preacher would get up and preach. Listen, I didn't argue with him. I didn't get in a, that's his opinion stuff. Hey, I'd go to the altar. I'd just get in the altar and deal with it. Amen. I wanted to be pliable clay in the hands of God that He could mold me. I had music in my life that was not pleasing to God at all. Of course, I wasn't saved. It's a normal thing. Hello, everybody listening. It's a normal thing for a person that's not saved to listen to trashy music. And if you listen to trashy music, then qualify yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Then identify yourself. Amen. A saved person does not feed on filth.
Amen.
The old sow that Peter talked about, identifying false teachers, he said you can clean it up and you can wash it up and you can turn it loose and you know where it'll go. I mean, you can put a bow around its head and you can squirt perfume on it and everything, but inside it's still a stinking pig and it'll go to the mire every time. Why? It's its nature.
Right.
It's its nature. Amen to do that.
Right.
That's right. Oh yeah, we need, listen, saved people don't feed on filth. Saved people are interested in righteousness. Saved people, those truly saved, are interested in holiness and purity and godliness. Yes, sir. Well, it's quiet, but that's okay. It's hard to shout when you got a bulldog a hold of your britches leg. Amen. Amen. Our churches are suffering spiritually. Sinners are remaining lost because of powerlessness that is permeating our churches in our life. And it's because the people in the churches gives the church its atmosphere. If the church is dead, that's coming from the inside the church. It's not coming from Washington. It's not coming from the Middle East. It's not coming from none of that crowd. It's coming from inside the church. Christ shows us in this passage of Scripture that He has power. He has power. And this power is evident in this Scripture that He means for this power to be channeled through His people. Let me ask you something. What good is the power of God? And by the way, the power of God is superior to any problem. The power of God can save anybody. The power of God can solve any situation. The power of God, there's no competition to the power of God. But the power of God, my friend, is useless if it doesn't get in you and through you. But Tim, what good would the power of God be to you? Let's just say you was lost or whatever. What good would the power of God do him if I had it? And it stops at me. It don't go through me. It don't channel through me. It's not going on. It's not rivers running through me. It stops with me. What good is that? And that's why the devil wants you to live a half-hearted life. It's so that, my friend, God can't do through you what He desires. Let me show you something here. There's a lot that I could say about this. Let me say this. Look at verse 16. I'm talking about Christ and the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ and the power of God. How much influence does Christ have in your life? How much say-so does Christ have in your life? How much pull does Christ have in your life? Are you doing your own thing? A lot of people does their own thing. Hello? Amen? Amen? Come on now. I guarantee you. Listen. I guarantee you there was people could have been here Wednesday night that wasn't.
Yeah,
right. Hello. There's people could be here this morning that are not, that could.
Wow.
Amen. Who's in charge of that? Who's in charge of that? Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. I'm talking about, listen, the authority of Christ. Here's what Watchman Nee said. If we do not give Christ absolute authority in our lives, Though he may be present, he cannot be powerful. If we don't give him authority in our life. I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of saved people are miserable and sad and down in the dumps. You know why? They're fighting against God. Surrender is not a defeated life. Hello? Surrender's not a defeated life. When you say, Lord, here I am, I belong to you. Everything that I am, everything that I shall be, it belongs to you. I'm yours. You're the boss. I'm the servant. That attitude and that submission won't defeat you. No, it's when you keep your hands on the steering wheel of your life and you stay in the driver's seat of your life. That is when you live a defeated life. Right. Amen. You say, well, lost people, unsaved people, they have more joy than I do, preacher. Well, you know why? They're not serving two masters. They're only serving one master. It's as normal for a sinner to sin as it is for a dog to bark. Amen.
Right, right.
Oh, yes, it's just normal. Amen. That's why they can laugh and cut up and have a time. And then when you get saved and you're in a fight with God, a fuss with God, and you're warring with God and pulling against God and everything else, amen, and then all of a sudden your joy is gone. You know why? You're fighting against God. Your joy is found in surrender. Amen? Listen to this. There's no power apart from Christ. His anointing and His authority are inseparable. Jesus spake and said these words in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me. That word power means authority. When Jesus said all power is given unto me, He said all authority is given unto me. Listen to this. I looked that word up that's translated in that verse, power, and I found out that the word is translated 29 other times as the word authority. Boy, people hate authority. Oh, they despise it. Children don't like authority of parents. Amen. That's right. Employees don't like the authority of employers. Citizens don't like the authority of government. And I kind of struggle with that myself. Say amen right there. Y'all pray for me. I ain't no halo up here. I struggle with that one. I'll just be honest with you. That burns me up. Anyway, I better get off that. I felt my blood pressure going up. Amen. But it's the authority. It's an authority subject. Listen, marriages will bust up over authority issues. Well, I tell you right now, preacher, he's not going to tell me what to do. Come on, ladies. Say amen right there. Come on, husbands. You would have nodded your head, but you're afraid to. I know. I know. Say amen, Brother Tom. That's right. You'd say amen, but you're afraid. You afraid your wife would elbow you and say, give you that. When I get you home, buddy, you've had it.
That's right.
Instead of roosting on the bedpost, you'll be in the doghouse, big boy. Say amen right there. Help us, Lord Jesus. But it's also translated two other times as the word right. Everything in our day is about rights. Jesus, when He said, all power is given to me, He said, I have all authority and I have all rights. Who does He think He is? He's the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When He saves you, friend, you resign ownership of your life. You resign ownership of your life. Now, this type of preaching right here does not stir the flesh. This type of preaching here, ladies and gentlemen, will not encourage a shouting service. Now, it will later, if it's heeded, if it's heard. Oh, yes. It's also translated, here, get this. It's translated one time as the word jurisdiction. Have you ever heard of the... Brother Klepper used to be the long arm of the law.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wide earth, yeah.
Brother, did you have, when you was in enforcement, did you have a jurisdiction? That meant you had boundaries. That your authority as an officer was only as good as your jurisdiction. Jesus said, all authority, all power is given unto me. That is all jurisdiction. You can't outrun that law and get out of jurisdiction and escape the penalty. There's nowhere you can run to get outside the boundaries of the authority and sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has jurisdiction in your life. No matter where you are, he has the right to write you a ticket, so to speak. Amen. Amen. When you get out of line and get out of bounds and do what a Christian shouldn't do, no matter where you are, Christ has the authority and the right and the jurisdiction, my friend, to handcuff you, so to speak. Jesus, amen, amen. I'm talking about a believer, friend, can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, but it is found in the authority of Christ. And submission to him. Oh yeah, that's right. Well, we're having a good time. But notice this here, real quickly. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain. And I've got this word circled. Where Jesus had appointed them. The first thing I want to share this morning, and I may preach the rest of the time on this. I want to talk about the authority of Christ and his appointments. His appointments. Where did these disciples go? They went where Jesus had appointed them. He didn't ask them. He told them where he wanted them to go. Listen. And here, you can mark this down. I'll deal with it probably on next point. But not only have I got in verse 16 the word where circled, but also in verse 17 I've got the word when circled. Don't expect the when to take place in verse 17 until you get the where taking place in verse 16. Amen. A lot of people won't surrender to God, submit to his authority, because they're afraid of where he might send them. They're afraid of where what he might tell them to do, what he might ask them to do. Okay, so he wants you to go in here and there, whatever, and you're stubbing up. Amen. Come on, listen. You're stubbing up, and you're saying, "Well, God, I'm not going there, and I'm not going to do that." Well, let me ask you something. Are you happy? Happiness is being where God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. And you can be where God wants you to be and still not be happy if you're rebelling against it in your heart. Amen. The Lord had to work that in my heart to come to Rogersville. A little over 20 years ago. Are you listening? Listen, you heard me tell it the other day, but I'm not going to retell it. But listen, I fought against that. I didn't want to come up here. Hello. I got over that. God helped me with that. He worked it in my heart that this is where I needed to be. Amen. And through the thick and the thin and the hard times and the storms and the difficulties, and we've had them. Every church that's trying to do the will of God, preach the word of God, will have the storms and the winter times and the difficulties. That's the reason I didn't bail out in those times, because I knew and I got it settled, Brother Tom, this is where God wanted me to be. Are you listening to the preacher? Thank God. Best thing you can do outside of getting saved is surrender to God. If you're not saved, I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved, no matter how hard you try, you will never, ever find true joy and true lasting contentment and happiness and satisfaction in anything in this world. Now, if you take that little statement I just gave you right there, to save you a lot of heartache. You'll never find it in this world. And the thing, young people, listen. Some of the people that you look up to as heroes in this world, look at their lives, for crying out loud. Why would you want to esteem them as a hero when they're living wicked lives? Why is it that a young person would want a hero like that? Why would you want a movie star that's had 1,400 wives or husbands? They are a living example and illustration that this world, and no matter how much you've got of it, cannot satisfy you. But I know people all over this country and in other countries, they don't have hardly enough money to pay attention, but they're happy. Why? Because they've been saved by the grace of God and have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you where God wants you to be? And when he had appointed, they went. That's another word you could circle. I don't have it, but it will be. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. All right, let's look at that word appointed real quick. That word appointed means to arrange. Arrange in order. To assign. To dispose to a certain position or lot. To determine. To ordain. And this is a word used, and it's actually, this word appointed is actually translated that in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, the word is addicted. Did you get that? I want you to get that. The Lord spoke to me over that this morning. The same word is translated appointed in Matthew 28:16. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, the Bible said, then they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The appointments of God is addictive. Now you think about an addiction. An addiction has something that's really got a hold of you. You know why a person's addicted to something? They like what they get out of it. They like how it makes them feel. Well, if you take that, you can preach a whole message on that, but if you take that and parallel it with this, they were aware that God had appointed them or had addicted them. God will hook you up, friend, with his divine placements in life. And you'll like it. Those addictions that I had before I got saved, you know what? Not one time did I say, I hate this, I despise this, man, I wish I wasn't doing this. Right. No. I made plans to do it. Why? I liked it. Well, when you're where God appoints you to be, you will like it.
Right.
You will like it. If you're surrendered to it, if you're submitted to it, you will like it. Young people, I believe it. Listen, if you get a hold of this, it sure help you. It really surely would help you. So there is the authority and the divine appointments of God. Divine appointments of God. Are you listening to the preacher?
Amen.
Now I'm going to make this statement, and don't read into it what I'm not saying, okay? Don't put words in my mouth. I'm in Rogersville because that is God's appointment for me. And has been. But if God were to make it clear to me today, and he'd have to. He had to before I came, and he'd have to before anything else changed. If God told, listen, and I know my home's here, and I know my everything I've got is here. Or Brother Buttrey, if God told me today that I was done here and it was time for me to move on, and he made it so clear that it was unquestionable, I'd do it. You say, would I like that? Would that be the Oh, no. I'd struggle with it. I'd be honest with you. But God would win in the end. Now, don't read into that what's not there. I'm just giving that as an example. Oh, Lord, the preacher's leaving. I can hear it now. It'll be all over Rogersville by tomorrow. Well, the preacher's leaving. I didn't say that. Is that what you're hoping? I'll put words in your mouth. Is that what you're hoping? Amen. Are you praying about that? Are you wishing that to happen? Come on. Well, anyway, there is the authority of Christ in His appointments. Let God appoint you. Let God place you. Let God do it. Let God be in charge. Young people, He knows the mate you need. He knows the mate you're going to need. He knows what's best for you. Now, I don't know why I'm on that. I know I preach to young people a lot, and that's a good thing. But he knows the mate you need. Listen, at best, you'll make a judgment call. You know, you'll make a judgment call on it, how they look. Hello. I mean, you'll make a judgment call on looks. And I nearly did that, Brother Jackie. And I would have done it if God hadn't have saved me. I was engaged to get married. I told y'all this not long ago. I was engaged to get married to a girl, and then I got saved, and that messed all of that up. Because she did not want a saved, Jesus-loving husband or boyfriend either. So she bails out pretty quickly. I hadn't seen her in 30 years. I told y'all this the other day. And I saw her in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I was down there preaching a Bible, and I saw her in a place of business. And I didn't even recognize her. Are you listening? I'm talking about would stop a 10-day clock, son. Now, when she was 19, Bobby, she was pretty. But time had made a change. Huh? Hey, when I identified her and sure enough identified her and spoke to her, I said, Tammy, is that you? Well, I shouldn't use that word. Shouldn't use the name. Oh. Help us, Lord. I said, is that you? And when the identification, I didn't say it outwardly, but inside I said, whoa, thank God. I'm glad, Lord, that you intervened in that. Amen. You better not make a call off of looks because, amen, looks will change. On both sides of the fence. Amen. Amen. You need, amen. Let God give you the one that you'll need and that you'll want. And when He puts them in your life, they will encourage your life spiritually. They will not be a weight to you. They'll not be an anchor to you that'll hold you down and hold you back, but rather will encourage your life. Amen. Well, does Christ have any authority in your life concerning appointments? I think that's pretty good preaching right there. Amen. That word appointed is used as the word S-E-T, set, in Luke 7 and verse number 8. For I am a man set under authority. That's the word, same word. Appointed and the word set. You get the picture? Here's that man, the centurion, and he said, I am a man set or appointed under authority. Does Christ, I mean, this is so elementary preaching today, but does Christ have authority in your life? He'll never put His power through you till He has power over you. Is that not good? That is good. When God puts His power on you, it'll be because He has power over you. Let's move on. Everybody following me? Everybody still with me?
Amen.
Matthew 28, verse 17, our second thought is this. Not only does Christ's power and authority, has authority over us in our appointments, but then look at verse 17. There's something else that's connected to the authority of Christ, and that is the word, and for outline purposes, I want to use the word adoration. Look what the Bible said in verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Saw who? When they saw Christ. The power of God. When they saw Christ, who in the next verse said, all power and authority and jurisdiction and right is given unto me. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Now, Lord, give me this little thought this morning. I want to tell you it's right. I believe it. When we are not worshiping, it's an authority issue. How can you adore the Lord when you've not submitted to Him? How can you adore Him and worship Him and honor Him when you've not submitted to Him, when you've not allowed Him to have authority and jurisdiction and right and control in your life? Oh, my soul, we look at the Apostle Paul and we think, what a Christian, what a man of God. You know why he was what he was? It was because he lived a surrendered, submitted life to God. God was his control. When God would say go, he'd go. When God would say don't, he wouldn't. Amen. Does God have, listen, you just have to forgive me for preaching so elementary, but I believe our problem is elementary. I believe our problem is simple. It's not the complexity of what we're not doing or what we don't know or what we no. I believe it's just plain and simple, saved people stepping up against the authority and control and the rights of God in their life. I believe that's it. This church right here could have the power of God bouncing off the wall. This church right here, I'm telling you, could have so much power in it that when sinners come through those doors, they couldn't stand it. They'd have to either get in, run to the altar, or get up and leave. They'd have to, I mean, the pressure would be so enormous. Amen? Oh, listen. Thank God for RBT, but we don't have the power like we need. We don't have it, but my question is, do we want it? There's people just like that 94-year-old lady everywhere that's not saved. Brother Sutherland got saved, what, 3 Sundays ago or something? 2 Sundays ago? Right here. You know why? God gave us a little vision of power by His grace. By His grace, amen. God showed up and helped us, and we bless His name. There's no power apart from the authority and submission that we have to Christ and that He has over our life. Amen. So there is the authority and the appointments of Christ. Then there's the authority, His authority, and the adoration of Christ. Verse number 17. Why is it so hard for people to worship God? Can I ask you that? Huh? Why is that? You know what most song service is? It's a pickup trying to get the service off the ground. Trying to get the service off the floor. When the preacher gets up to preach, he should be able to get in full swing because the service is up and going. But most of the service, from what the time it starts till it's over, most of that is a pull on people to try to get them up, try to get their mind off of the world and problems, and trying to get your focus on God. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Why? They were disciples. He was the leader. They were following. He had authority in their life. It's easy to worship God when He has authority in your life. This message may have to soak in you and on you for a while. I don't know. But the appointments of Christ. The adoration of Christ. Verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them. And spake unto them. The authority of Christ in His announcement. Not just in His appointments and the adoration of verse 17, but His announcement in verse 18. Does Christ have authority to say to you whatever He wants to say? What is it that Christ could say to you today and you'd get mad about? What is it that Christ could say to you that He wants you to quit? and you'd get mad about it? What is it in your life that Christ could say, I want you to give this up, and you'd fight against him on it? What if Christ were to say, I want you to be faithful to church? Would you fight against him on that? I want you to read the Word of God daily. I want you to pray. I want you to be involved in the work of God. Would you fight against that? Now, listen, y'all, you probably will have to see where I'm coming from to know how I feel on this issue. But I preach a good bit. Brother Tom, I preach a good bit. And I'm tired of preaching to people that don't want nothing. Go and preach revivals, and it's evident they're not interested in changing. They're not interested. I've told them from the pulpit. And I wasn't being disrespectful. I wouldn't have been disrespectful, but I told him, I said, look, if y'all don't want nothing, will you please tell your pastor so I can go home? I don't want to waste a week of my life. And that's what it will be. That's exactly what it will be when people don't want to submit to the authority of God. Revivals, come on now, you know I'm telling it right. Most revivals is nothing but an effort of emotion. Make us feel good, preacher. Let us have a goosebump and a chill, and we'll go to the house. But what happens to that revival? A week after the meeting's over, it's over. Where's the authority of Christ at? Can he speak to you? Does he have the right to speak to you? Huh? Come on now. What about if he says these words to you? Go ye. Wait a minute, Lord. I mean, I'm wanting to be spiritual, and I want to be saved, and I want to be a blessing and all this, but Lord, now you're wanting me to go. That's what he told them. And by the way, this is the Great Commission given to the church. Where's the young people that says, Lord, I'll go? Where's the young men that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? I believe God's still calling preachers to preach. I just think a lot of them's telling him no. I still believe that. I believe God's calling men to preach, young boys to preach. I still believe that, but they're not listening. They're telling God, no, I can't do that, or I won't do that, or I will not do that. Because if I do that, I'll have to quit all of this, and it's going to mess all of that up. And as a result, the work of God is hurting. The work of God is hurting. God help us. Does he have the right to say anything to you? Does he have the right to deal with you about anything? He spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he said, go ye. Therefore. Do you get that? Go ye therefore. In verse number 19. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you. There's the key. There is the key. There it is, Brother Mark. Jesus said in verse 18, I have all power. And then he said, go, verse 19. And then verse 20, he said, and I'm going with you. There's no power apart from the presence of Christ. There's no power apart from the presence of Christ. You can tell that RBT will have the power of God when we have the presence of God. Amen. He said, I'll go with you. Me, the one that has power, all power, authority, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll work in you. I'll work through you. I just need you to go. Now, Jesus wouldn't go without them. Jesus didn't go instead of them. He said, I'm going to go with you. If you're saved, you are an agent. You're a channel. You're an instrument that God wants to use. You young people that are in school, take him to school with you. Where you work, take him to work with you. Amen. His power can be demonstrated in you and around you and through you as he goes with you. But he won't go with you if he has no authority in your life. Amen. Far as serving and influencing people. There's a lot that we could say about these verses, but I think that you have got somewhat of the message this morning. I hope you have. The flesh don't like it, I promise you that. When Jesus said this, go ye in verse 19. Listen, we don't like that Christianity in motion. We like that Christianity that allowed me to be saved, go to heaven, and do nothing. But you can count on it, friend. You're saved by grace. There's Bible verses that support that. You're saved by grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, but you are not spiritual by grace. And your service will not be by grace. Grace is what God does for you. Service is what God does through you. Amen. Sanctification is what God does to you. And there'll not be any service if there's no sanctification and surrender and submission to God. What's the need of RBT today? For saved people? A renewed, mean it from your heart, surrender to the Lord. Lord, I want you to be not just my Lord. Listen, let me give this to you. I wrote this down this morning. A lot of people wants to receive Christ as Savior, but reject His Lordship. They want His redemption, but not His rule. They want His deliverance, but not His dominion. They want His benefits, but they don't want Him to be the boss. They want Him to be resident, but not president. Are you listening? If you're here today and you're not saved, I'll tell you when you can get saved. You can get saved when you're willing for Jesus to have authority in your life. You'll never have His atonement till you're willing to have His authority. Amen. Now, listen. Don't write me off, but I've sent them back from the altar before to their seat because they were not willing for Christ to have any say-so in their life. God's not going to save you if you're not interested in Him being your Lord. You just want Him to be your Savior. Is that all you want? So that you're saved now and you won't be going to hell, but you have no heart to serve God, no desire to honor Him with your life? Is that it? God help us. Friend, He deserves better than that. He deserves better than that. He paid it all to Him I owe. The need of today's Christianity worldwide is surrender to the jurisdiction and rights and authority of Christ Jesus. And let Him appoint us. And that will have an effect on our worship. And then it will have an effect on our action, our going, our doing. Can God tell you to do something and you'll do it? Well, amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in.